Would Mothman drive around in a car when he's tired of flying? Could a necromancer help me rise out of bed in the morning? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! What's up, everybody? Welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast, where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal tale and come to a conclusion at the end of the podcast, deciding whether or not we believe it is real or it is false. Sometimes, when the evidence is there, when the stars align, when we have the photos, the witnesses, the testimonies, we are able to still give it a no. That's right. It is very, very hard to get a yes on this podcast, but we have done it before.
An episode getting a yes on This Paranormal Life is like someone winning Takeshi's Castle. You've never quite seen it, but your friend's cousin said he watched an episode once where it happened, and you're like, shit, so it's possible.
Hopefully in today's case, just like in bed, Kit and I don't reach the conclusion too quickly. We have an amazing paranormal story to dive into today.
We don't sleep together.
I meant independently. Yeah. This story that we're covering today was actually a listener submission by Zachary Young, who emailed us and said, "Hey guys, I've just seen a video about a UFO case in Mexico. It has the usual things that we would expect from this sort of case, like missing time, but I don't remember there being a case before that involves possession by an alien."
No. Yeah, maybe not.
Honestly, I think we've never heard of a case like that in our lives, in the history of this podcast. Now, I did a little bit of digging, and this case currently is blowing up online. It recently resurfaced, and it's led a bunch of people to dive back into the files that have since been released. Let me tell you, this is a wild one today, guys.
Yeah, normally we do too many UFO cases compared to other paranormal cases. Actually, weirdly feels like we haven't had that many in the last while. So this is exciting.
And this is kind of a cool one where it may be about UFOs and aliens, but the aliens are doing ghost shit.
Yeah.
Possessing people. Well, we're going to find out today whether this was an alien or not. Let's kick off our story. But of course, first, a little reminder that if you want to support this podcast, the best place to do it is patreon.com, where you can get a bunch of cool rewards from extra episodes to merchandise to shoutouts at the end of the podcast. And also, come see us live. That's right, we're performing all across the UK, doing this podcast on stage, doing some real-world paranormal investigations right in time for Halloween. Check it out. You can find all of those links in the bio of this podcast.
And thisparanormallife.com.
Our story today kicks off on June 21st, 1976, in Mexico City. A young aspiring pilot named Rafael Pacheco Perez was just about to take off on his debut solo flight, an important milestone in the life of a pilot. He'd done a bunch of flights before with co-pilots, but this would be the first time he'd be alone in the cockpit. Now, luckily, Rafael was smart. He was a highly skilled student and one of the best in his class. So in theory, a solo flight like this would be a piece of cake. But little did he know, he wouldn't really be alone on this flight. Ground control was about to hear a second voice coming through the radio. It was time for takeoff. The small plane jetted down the runway of the Mexico City airport, wheels slowly lifting off the ground to begin Perez's short solo journey.
"This is Pilot Perez. Landing gear is up and I'm on my way."
"Roger that. Don't get too lonely up there by yourself, Perez."
"Oh, I won't. It'll be nice not having Miguel looming over my shoulder for once. I could finally..."
"Perez?"
There was no response on the radio.
"Perez, come in."
Ground control began to panic. Had something happened to him? He'd only just left the runway and he was already not responding. I mean, even if you were a terrible pilot, it would be pretty impressive to be able to go missing this early in a flight.
Yes.
Because there's only so much that can go wrong.
Yeah, most of the bad eventualities that they'll have kind of mentally prepared for will be at least after you take flight.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's even considered the possibility that he would have kind of sped down the runway towards takeoff and then jackknifed or like 90 degree turn into a lamppost.
Because even then you'd still be able to track the plane.
Yeah, has anyone ever wrapped a plane around a lamppost? Has that happened? It might be today.
Only thing that could have been worse than this is pressing the ejector seat on the runway.
I'm sure it's happened. An expensive mistake, no doubt, as well.
We should give more normal seats ejecting power. Like, why did we stop at jets? Like, what if I'm having a bad day at the office? There should be a button I can push that launches me out of here. Shoot me, launch me, and kind of parachutes me into the ground. Bad date. You know, I'm gone.
It sounds, though, like you would rather kind of threaten your life and the lives of everyone around you by ejecting through, I mean, four or five walls, brick walls.
Yes.
What kind of helmet is going to withstand that? Rather than just have a difficult conversation.
This is why most of my dates are either in the park or a glass conservatory. I insist, because I have been on dates before where I've hit the ejector seat and crushed myself against a brick ceiling.
Rory is on a Tinder date. And she's like, he doesn't look like his photos. You're wearing an Air Force pilot helmet, just in case.
Looks like I'm in Top Gun.
Just in case she weirdly believes in student loan debt forgiveness. My friend actually recently hit up the group chat, I think just yesterday, saying that he's been going to music lessons for a few years now. And the teacher finally drummed up the courage to just while... He was practicing, well, my friend was practicing during the lesson. The teacher was like, I've been watching a lot of stuff on 9/11 recently.
Oh, no.
And he was like, great, I need a new teacher. I need a new, and he was like, because the thing is, they don't want you to know who did it. But I think we all know who did it. He's like, yeah, I don't want to stick around long enough to see what racial minority group he's going to blame 9/11 on.
And you're like, I don't know. I think they know who did. No, fingers there for it's a G. It's a G. You're doing it there.
Yeah. I just want to gently push back on what you just said.
And now move to A. Move to A.
Of course. That's with the three fingers?
Yeah, it's with the three fingers.
On the second fret. Okay, yeah. Awesome. It's just that I think there was a pretty deep investigation into it. And you know what?
Just when you're talking about fingers, it's interesting because the fingers also pull the strings of the shadow government that make us believe.
Now, is that a treble clef or a...
It doesn't matter what that is. It doesn't matter because we're all dancing to their tune.
It's just I'm paying you to teach me music, so we're all dancing to their tune. It doesn't matter. All right, well, let's just stop then. It doesn't matter.
I've actually been writing some of my own music recently.
Yeah. Dun, 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 sounds dun, nice dun, so far.
It's pretty good, yeah.
We're pretty relaxed.
We don't know what happens in this crazy world of ours.
You hear?
This world can be kind and it can be cruel.
Can we go back to teaching me?
But there's one thing that I know, and boy, I know it in my soul, is that you can't melt steel with jet fuel.
All right. I think we are.
Okay.
So is that an original? Is it that a cover?
It is an original, and I'm teaching it to you today.
Okay. Is that you can't melt steel beams with jet fuel?
Yeah, got you. You've left. All right, we're getting distracted. Need to get back into our story here. Pilot gone missing seconds into a flight. Incredibly important. The ground team leapt into action. Ground control, we need a visual on Pilot Perez. Can we get him up on radar? The team were confused.
He's gone.
What do you mean?
He disappeared.
Chaos ensued as the ground team scrambled to find Perez. Over an hour went by and still nothing. There was no sight of the plane, and they hadn't heard from the airstrip where Perez was supposed to land. Then, out of nowhere, he reappeared. His plane was spotted 3 hours away from where he was supposed to land. But that was impossible. His training plane was only given enough fuel for an hour-long flight. And only an hour had passed. How had he traveled 3 hours away? When they finally made contact with him, they knew something was wrong. Radio Tower asked Perez to identify himself, and he replied,
"He is speaking because he is ordered to do so."
Yo. I think I would just like cut the feed in the control tower and just be like, hey, Sam, I'm going to take an early lunch, I think. Could you just hop on here?
Yeah. Shoot it down. missile lock on Perez, please shoot it down. You don't get to disappear and then answer with hello. Any kind of weird voice. That's a big red flag, yep. You know? It's like, Perez, you gotta land the plane. I don't want to.
Hey, he might have
I don't feel
had...
like it anymore. God, why did we give him a plane? Who is this guy? You know?
He might have had a head injury. All right. Crash. Something went wrong. Crash landing. This isn't his fault. TBI, head injury. He doesn't know up from down, left from right. He doesn't know his own last name.
Yes. Listen, especially when you're in a profession as serious as flying a plane, there's no room for tomfoolery. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine who works for an airline recently, and they said the rules around pilots are so strict that it's this weird world where, as a pilot, they obviously want you to have kind of impeccably strong and resilient mental health.
Yep.
You know, a spotless record. But it's kind of a catch-22 because if they say, you know, is your mental health okay? Is there anything you want to talk about? And you say, actually, yes, I would like to talk about my mental health. They're like, well, you can't be a pilot then. So you can't ask for help with your problems because if you need help, you get fired.
Yeah.
But then that means...
So then the problems kind of fester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the pilots who are struggling with mental illness still continue to fly planes.
Yeah.
It's a system that kind of doesn't work.
So you're saying the pilots that are flying... I'm catching a flight today. You're saying they're cuckoo?
It's the Joker. You're catching a flight with the Joker. I was like, Captain, are we ready to land at Belfast City Airport? I don't feel like it anymore. It's like, oh my God.
He lands the plane if he wants to land the plane. What?
I don't know. So Perez has identified himself and he is currently not the person they thought he was. That original line, he is speaking because he is ordered to do so. Very terrifying thing to hear if you are trying to contact a pilot supposedly doing a solo flight. Perez went on to say,
we are using him as if he were, yes, we are using him as a microphone. We don't matter much, nor where we come from, nor where we're going. Just know that we are beings from this universe to which you belong. Our planet is many light years away, but I'll repeat that before it becomes confusing, we are physically the same as you. I repeat, all races in the universe are physically the same.
Kit, I know this sounds insane. That is wild for me to come on this podcast and tell you that this actually happened. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to say I have the audio recordings.
Whoa!
Yes.
What are we doing listening to your dumbass? Come on, let's play them.
We're listening to my dumbass because they are very staticky and also in Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that. I can't speak fluent Spanish.
Yeah. So that's why I did that retelling, because we can listen to the tapes. There is a translation, obviously, on screen. But listeners of the podcast, it's not going to make much sense to you. But I thought we could listen to some of it and I could kind of translate the speech over the top of it as it's being said. But Kit and I can listen to the recordings. You only need to know that you are not alone in the universe, and that there are other races far from you. But we are watching. Crazy stuff, Kit.
What?
Always cool when
we
have
heck?
Actual audio evidence from a paranormal case.
Yeah. Just so everyone's on the same page, it is his voice.
Yeah, he's being because used microphone.
We're a little back and forth on that, at least in my head. Yeah, they're hearing another speaker, as it were, which is, he's not speaking from the point of view of Perez. This is another speaker, but through the actual vessel, through the voice of Perez.
We can't see what's happening, but I assume Perez, his eyes are completely white. He is in like a zombie state, and a voice is just being beamed through him to the radio tower. And it's worth saying that even though that's the little clip that we have, it didn't end there. The voice went on to say that they were watching humanity from the skies, and that humanity had to change or an irreversible global catastrophe would take place.
Yeah. Now, this is a pretty common thread of UFO cases.
Yeah.
Probably of a certain era. as well, although I do think it has pervaded through probably the 40s and 50s through to the modern day. I think it has happened a lot, this kind of ecological message that humans are somehow destroying the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens are trying to intervene by speaking to us, communicating with us.
Which, look, I appreciate, alien guys out there. It's cool that you want to come down and get involved, deliver this message. All I'm going to say is, we know we're ruining the place. We know we're headed towards blowing each other up, and we ain't changing a goddamn thing. Yeah. So all I'm going to say is, the little messages are fun, the little possessions and warning us about the future. You guys need to come down now with ray guns and start shooting people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's the only thing that's going to change us at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, we know there's like 6 to 7 guys kind of running shit down here. Yeah. It's kind of, does that make it sound like there's like one emperor of the planet? Borderline.
Pretty
yes.
Much.
We call them billionaires.
Yeah.
And I don't think your message is really going to change their mind. So actually, can we beam back to you? Can we talk through? We can talk to you, Perez.
That'd be great.
Come down here and kill those guys. Kill the billionaires. And then I think we can talk. Then I think we might be able to get somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't think they understand the Earth politics.
It is annoying. Yeah. The alien communications always seems to be kind of a one-way road. They're like, warning, you're heading down a very dangerous path. And we're like, we know. No, we know. Like, and if you guys just give us 1 second, we can tell you how you guys can help us fit. Bye-bye. And you're like beamed back into the middle of a cornfield, naked, covered in goo.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the f***, guys? Like, do you want to solve the problem or not? Because you have guaranteed no one's going to believe me now. If you're telling me I need to do something about it.
Yeah.
Like, my name's Chuck. I'm from Ohio. I live in a shack in the woods.
Yeah.
You just abducted me and told me to save humanity.
Can I at least get a piece of evidence that I can show the people? Like,
Sure, here's a business card. We have those. We have business cards. No one's just because it says Gargon on it.
Right.
Yeah, that's my name and my contact details. Yeah, but no one's going to believe that aliens have business cards.
Yeah. You're like, fine then, I'll take the card. Okay, you should know our business cards are more of a feeling. All right. All right.
I do love the
idea. I'm beaming the card to you now. No, that won't work, Gargon. I need a physical thing.
Yeah, I'm getting it. The phone number ending 987.
Yeah, 987.
Yeah, I got it.
It's like, oh, you want them to believe you? Just simply show them this. He beams 1,000 years of nightmares into your head. You're like, how will I show them this?
I do like the idea that the aliens have come with like an ecological message, but it's just a really kind of like outdated basic one that we already kind of know.
They're like, you don't understand. There are beings on your world that are in peril.
Oh shit, really?
Yes, they're called bees. And if the bees die, then yeah, I know the planet will collapse. Oh, you know about the bees?
Yeah, we've known about the bees for forever.
But why aren't you doing anything?
Because, I don't know, we're evil inside or something. Like, we're pretty, just somehow incapable of actually affecting change, even though we know what we're doing to ourselves.
But they're so cute. They make honey.
Yeah,
have you tried honey?
It's delicious.
We don't have honey on our planet. That's why we keep coming here.
Winnie the Pooh ass aliens.
You know? Oh, bother.
You guys have to protect the planet. You only have one.
I hate that you realized in the last year you have a really good Winnie the Pooh impression.
This is my co-pilot, Piglet. Say hello, Piglet.
Hello.
No, you can't do Piglet. You've gone too far. Piglet. You flew too close to the sun, brother. New Piglet.
What's up, guys? It's me, Piglet. A cowabunga.
Yeah, not a lot of help here, but we're hearing a very... very classic alien message, which, as Kit said, I would say is very suitable for this time period. Now, one member of the radio tower asked a great question.
If you are an entity that's thousands of years old, that watches us from the stars, light years away, why are you speaking Spanish?
They replied that they could speak any language. And when one of the air traffic controllers started speaking German and English, the aliens started speaking through Perez, replying in both languages.
Okay. What was it? Just, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's good.
I think it was pretty in-depth stuff. All three languages, which is insane because Perez doesn't speak German or English.
Yeah.
Exclusively Spanish. And all of a sudden, he was just saying full sentences in other languages. The transmission ended at 11:29 a.m. The frequency changed, and all of a sudden, there was a new voice crying out on the radio.
Help! I'm Rafael Pacheco Perez, student 82 of the Aviation School of Mexico City. Whoever is out there, please reply.
Pilot Perez was back, as if nothing had ever happened. When air traffic control asked about his position, he simply replied, I don't know. I'm 7,000 feet in the air and I can only see water. The team on the ground finally managed to locate his plane and he was able to land at the nearby Acapulco airport. Perez was, of course, immediately arrested because you can't just disappear in a plane, start talking in an alien voice, and expect to clock out at 5 like nothing actually happened.
Yeah, this is desertion. Yeah. A absent without leave.
Yeah.
AWOL.
When interrogated about what happened, this is what Perez said. At 8:35 a.m., seeing that I had deviated from the route, I tried to turn left, but the controls did not respond. They had locked themselves in the ascent position. The clock started to swing at the same time. The compass was spinning wildly. All the instruments had gone mad. I entered a very dense cloud and continued to ascend. He went on to say that after entering the thick cloud, he suddenly felt super drowsy and he fell asleep. When he woke up, he was begging for help on the radio 7,000 feet in the air over the ocean. In fact, he even said that if no one later had told him about the weird radio call that he did, he would have thought that that's all that happened. He just accidentally fell asleep for some reason while piloting a plane and managed to stay in the air.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. So he has zero memory of anything that happened or even how he traveled 3 hours in 1 hour's time.
All I know is he's never flying a plane again. This is the end of the road. You were given one chance. You said earlier you were glad Miguel wasn't there looking over your shoulder. I think Miguel should have been there.
Right, yeah.
Miguel would have wrestled controls of the plane. This is why Miguel is there.
For this to happen on your first solo flight,
yeah,
to determine whether or not you are allowed to be a commercial pilot, there really isn't, aside from just flying the plane into the side of a mountain. This really is kind of the worst possible. This might be worse because at least then people could be like, oh my God, something must have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And instead just being like, how you doing up there, Perez? Oh, this is Perez. Holy fuck. That is bad.
I will say, anecdotal, not a ton of evidence behind what I'm about to say next. I now fly quite a bit for, you know, this year. I've taken a lot of flights for between one reason or another. I believe it was Stansted Airport in London. I did see a pilot splashing water on his face in the toilet one day.
That's not good.
Not in the toilet, in the bathroom, in the sinks.
Yeah.
Splashing water on his face. Doesn't sound that crazy when you say it out loud, but that is the universal symbol for I'm drunk and I'm trying to sober up.
Imagine seeing that as you walk into the bathroom and you're like, okay, and you kind of go into the cubicles and while you're sitting there, you just hear like, get it to together.
Yeah, you can get it together. You can do this.
You're a mess. You're a piece of shit. You're a f***ing waste of space. Or you know it. Claire knows it. Or f***ing dad knows it. You're a worm.
Oh, you want me out of the house? Well, I'm not ever coming back. I'm gone.
Ding dong. Calling Captain Worm. Your flight's ready. Yeah, you're a f***ing piece of dirt. You're a piece of dirt. This world would be better off without you or the 250 passengers.
You're like, please don't be on my flight. Please don't be on my flight. And then you hear the tannoy. It's like,
flight BHI 722 to Belfast City International.
And he's like, oh shit, better go. I'm like, oh no.
Better go. That's the flight I'm piloting. Oh shit.
Oh.
You hear him in the cubicle. I better go. That's my flight. Just got to take my medication first. Dang, all out. Oh, well, all aboard. Choo-choo. Okay, I ain't flying.
Oh, shit, getting a call. Oh, it's my bitch ex-wife. Hello? Oh, yeah, I can't see the kids anymore. Yeah, that tracks. All right, there goes my last reason for staying alive on this earth.
Well, that's good, because no one's seeing me again anyway.
And my face white as a ghost.
And I think you're right, Kit. A different pilot was set to fly the plane back to Mexico City. He was sent home on a bus. He never flew a plane again. And it's kind of a mystery what happened to him. Some people say that he kind of just disappeared and now just works as a taxi driver in Mexico City and doesn't want to talk to anyone about what happened.
Yeah, because if, at least if you're in a taxi and your taxi driver does that, the implications are much less severe. Like, as long as he still gets you there on time.
You close the door. Just to the train station, please. Oh, we're not going to the train station. All right, I'm going to go stepping out of the car then. Because I can do that because it's a car. I don't have to stay inside.
Hello, sir. Thanks for stopping. To the station.
The train station?
Yes, the train station.
In which galaxy?
All right, let me out. Let me out.
And can you be quick? Because I need to get there by 4 p.m.
The first thing I should clarify is that we look just like humans.
I'm sorry?
We're different, of course, but we look like humans. Yes, I'm being used as a microphone right now.
It's like, all right, just pull the car over. Look, I know today's story might seem a little crazy, but the craziest part is that this isn't even the first time that something like this has taken place in Mexico City.
Huh?
In fact, a very disturbingly similar event took place just 1 year prior. On May 3rd, 1976, 23-year-old pilot Carlos Antonio de los Santos was flying a small plane heading to Mexico City. Even though he was a young guy, he was an experienced pilot, logging at least 370 hours of flight time in the sky.
Hmm.
The flight was going as expected, with De Los Santos soaring over the dense clouds of central Mexico, when suddenly, he heard a thump against his plane. What? What the f*** was that? He turned to look at the wing of his plane, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. A dark, disc-shaped object had attached itself to the wing of his plane. He quickly glanced at the other wing. It was latched to an identical strange disc. Then, a bump from below. Carlos knew it had to be a third disc attaching itself to the bottom of the craft. Suddenly, the plane's controls became locked. Carlos tried everything he could, but the plane wouldn't budge. It was like it had been caught in some kind of unseen grip. With no other options, he made an urgent transmission to Mexico City Air Traffic Control.
Mayday! Mayday! I have three unidentified objects flying around me. My controls are not responding.
Once again, Kit, to prove to you just how real this incident is, I have the audio recording.
Let's go. Cue it up.
I'm apparently flying without control. The plane flies alone without control. I'm not controlling the plane. I have three objects flying around me. Crazy stuff, huh? Another audio recording from a pilot going through something very similar.
And so presumably they lived.
They did live. After roughly 10 minutes, the objects reportedly untethered from the plane and one by one drifted away into the distance. As they left, control of the aircraft returned. But as Carlos approached the airfield where he was supposed to land, he realized the landing gear wasn't deploying. After circling the field 8 times, he finally managed to get the wheels down and land safely in the grass between 2 runways.
Mm.
Now, of course, as soon as he landed, everyone wanted an explanation. But just like the story we heard that happens a year later, this is kind of a hard story to tell.
Yep.
In the first story with Pilot Perez, you kind of can't land and pretend like nothing happened because you've been talking to everyone on the radio. Whereas Carlos, he has a chance to kind of maybe tell a different story. But I'm glad to say today he stuck to his guns. He told them exactly what he saw, exactly what happened. He told them the truth and they called an ambulance.
Mm.
However, when he was examined, they found no levels of intoxication or inebriation. One doctor said that the appearance of the discs might have been a hallucination caused by low blood sugar because, get this, Carlos had skipped breakfast.
Mmm, that's usually what happens when I skip breakfast, kind of. aliens start invading Earth.
Yeah.
Because I didn't eat cornflakes.
If I skip breakfast, which is every day, by the way, mm-hmm. what happens to me is I eat double lunch.
Yeah.
I don't call my mom and say that on the walk to work, I was escorted by three orbs.
Yeah.
You know, I hate this. This is, I'm starting to think the doctor that came up with this theory was in a black suit with sunglasses on.
Yeah. Hey, look, this isn't the first time in this episode we've had a pilot speaking out about something odd happening in the sky.
Yeah.
It is not either the first time it's happened on This Paranormal Life. There's been several instances, many instances really, over the years of pretty credible UFO sightings by pilots.
Lots.
It reminds me a little of the Japan Air one. Don't remember the flight number of that one, but it was the flight that over Alaska, I believe, saw some kind of crazy mothership.
Yeah.
But it was similar in the sense that it was a commercial pilot, tons and tons and tons of experience, and they just swear down that they saw something absolutely out of this world, pun intended, in the sky.
Yeah, or even military pilots who really wouldn't have any reason to lie because it pretty much gets them in a lot of trouble for reporting it. The Mantell episode being one of the ones that jumps to my memory recently, where it was a U.S. military pilot who actually fired at a UFO. I think he got in a dogfight. Crazy stuff. So for it to happen at the same place in the span of a year, very suspicious. Now, luckily, some people did take this case very seriously. It was later investigated by the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, known as ARPO. They reviewed the radio recordings and even interviewed Carlos themselves. And for the most part, they believed his story, noting that he seemed to be a reliable, earnest witness who had been deeply rattled by what he saw. And luckily, they didn't just have Carlos's testimony to go on. Two air traffic controllers publicly confirmed that they saw three disc-shaped UFOs on radar by the plane.
Oh, interesting.
Now, Kit, I know you're going to love to hear this part. This case even eventually reached the eyes of the one and only Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
He sniffed it out like a bloodhound.
Sound the Hynek alarm! He took this case very seriously, as he is one to do, and theorized that the objects could have created some kind of electromagnetic field around the plane, and that's how they took over the controls. But the story doesn't end there. It gets even crazier. Carlos knew he was telling the truth, and he wanted his story to be told. So he set up a meeting with renowned Mexican journalist Pedro Ferrez. However, Carlos never made it to that interview. He says that on his way, he was intercepted by two black sedans that boxed in his car. Their doors opened, and out stepped four identical-looking men in black suits. He said they had pale skin, light-colored hair, and moved like robots. Later in an interview, in case there was any doubt, Carlos simply said they were not human.
Yeah, okay. Because this is kind of a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
We have come over time more and more to associate the Men in Black stories with them being some kind of secretive government agency.
Yes.
You know, that these are just, like the movie Men in Black, they're just people.
Enforcers brought in to interrogate paranormal witnesses.
And intimidate paranormal witnesses. But that does sideline and forget the kind of actual origin stories of Men in Black, in which when these stories were coming about in the 60s and 70s, oftentimes they were not considered human. They were considered weird. They moved differently. They spoke weirdly.
Yeah. The way Carlos describes them, he's like, they're tall, thin, pale. He said they look like Nordic, like Vikings.
Yeah.
The way they moved and speak was strange and unhuman. He said one of the men leaned in through the window of his car and said, "If you appreciate your life, don't talk anymore." And then left.
What do you say to that?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Well, Carlos had every intention of following their advice, but a little while later, he was actually scheduled to meet with Dr. J. Allen Hynek. So once again, he got in his car, drove all the way to the meeting in a nearby hotel, and while ascending the stairs to meet Dr. Hynek, he felt a hand strike the back of his head. When he turned around, he was face to face with one of the men who'd pulled him over earlier. Same suit, same face. The man reportedly said, "You are not going to meet with Dr. Hynek." When Carlos tried to argue, there was no point. The man told him to get lost.
Interesting. So, what do you think took place there? What was that?
It's kind of confusing because I believe at this time, Dr. J. Allen Hynek was working with the government.
Well, with the U.S. government.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if at this point he was doing Project Blue Book, but he was probably in some capacity investigating paranormal phenomenon.
Well, he wasn't in counts, was he? He was, he was presumably investigating the paranormal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, could this be the classic action movie scene where something's going on and then like the FBI show up and they're like, "We'll take it from here." And then like the CIA turn up and they're like, "Actually, we'll take it from here." You know, It's like the hierarchy of stuff. Dr. Hynek is like, "I'm paid by the government to investigate the paranormal." And the men in blacks are like, "Psych, no, you're not. This one's too crazy. You're coming with us."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to pick apart there. There's so many possibilities. I mean, I'll be honest. I struggle with the stories of kind of men in black being inhuman.
Yeah, me too.
Somehow. Because
it's a little crazy.
You know, and I actually said something wrong a minute ago. I said sort of in the movies, they're just human. That's not true. In the movies, it's an intergalactic agency of men in black.
Right.
Who handle these things. They just happen to be human Earth agents. I don't know. Like, that's what's kind of being inferred, is that the aliens have a presence on Earth. Or that, like, in the movie, there are aliens which are working with a select group of humans to enforce things on Earth. I think it's way more likely, obviously, that there was kind of a government censorship from some agency going on.
Right.
And then we can get into whether is that because this is kind of defense technology they don't want people to talk about or to know about. Or is it kind of the agency knows that there is a UFO program. They know these were off-world technologies and they don't want the word to get out about it.
Yeah. So they just stop him from spilling those details to Dr. Hynek. That does make sense. There's also a chance that the men in black were ordered to whack him, and they took that as a very literal order.
Slap him upside the head.
They were like, "The president sends his regards." Whoosh, slap him in the back of the head and then like walk off. And they're like, "What the f*** was that?"
Yeah, back at HQ, the boss is like, "And what about Carlos?" He's like, "Consider him whacked, sir." And they're like, "Good, when's the funeral?" Funeral?
Yeah. "I wasn't aware he was ill." Yeah. What do you mean? Carlos was fine, although he's still, to this day, he might be dead now. But long as he lived or lives, he swears by the events of this day. Today's a weird case. It's kind of two cases in one. One of them is essentially to support the other, but I think they both they work in tangent, which only makes coming down on a conclusion today a little bit harder, whether or not we want to pick the case of Pilot Perez or Carlos de los Santos. I think because the case everyone is talking about, the case that was suggested to us and the one that is going viral right now on TikTok and Shorts and YouTube is Perez, is these tapes of a pilot who becomes possessed by an alien.
Yeah.
I think that should be our case today that we focus on, that we conclude on, and that we give a yes or a no to.
Yeah, it's a lot of a wilder story. So you're not wiggling your way out of that one by focusing on the less wild story. You had a guy talking and speaking in tongues. So let's talk about that one.
Should I, have used the first story to kind of just actually pepper
support the second story?
The good one? Yeah, I probably should have. But the first one is crazier, more funny, more insane, more relevant. So I think that's the one that we want to come down on today. Kid, I'm going to throw it to you. Do you believe that Pilot Perez was essentially possessed by an alien mid-flight?
Really, really tricky one. Because if we get into the idea here of how much evidence do we have? I mean, we have some cool recordings of Perez talking. We have actually no primary source evidence that proves that he was being possessed, that proves, you know, whenever communicating with aliens or spirits, there are certain things we can do to test their knowledge, you know, like to quiz them about future events if they claim to be kind of omniscient.
Yeah.
Or ask them things that their human host could not possibly know. They kind of tried that with the languages thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, you know, being able to speak a cursory amount of German or English, does this prove that someone is from an intergalactic race of aliens? No, there are Earth languages.
You need a little bit more than that. People who are trilingual, multilingual, have listened to the tapes, and they have commented and said, because I think he speaks a decent amount. It's not just like a one word. He doesn't just go, yeah. He like speaks in full German. And they're like, his German is crazy good.
Right.
Like, it's not even awkwardly said. It's like fluent, delivered perfectly well. You think it would be someone just speaking German who spoke German their whole life. Mm-hmm. And as we said, Perez, he only spoke Spanish, allegedly. So that is a bit of a weird one. But you are right. The only kind of physical supporting evidence we have today is just the mystery around him disappearing and then reappearing. Yeah. Some retellings of this story say he landed with a full tank of gas too.
Yeah.
Others say that the tank was empty. It gets a little messy.
Has anyone ever tried to explain the radio situation with just the radio simply being hijacked? The radio frequencies being somehow intercepted.
I don't think so.
In a kind of wartime way. Because
they could have been.
That is the kind of thing you would do if you were trying to prank the military.
Yeah.
Or an air base, right?
Yeah.
Is you would try and intercept a radio and then be like, I'm going to fuck with them. They're going to think they're talking to a pilot and I'm going to say the pilot's being possessed.
Yeah, honestly. I don't know enough about radio transmissions
and stuff.
I don't know
if that's possible, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But look, this is all we have to go on today.
Hard to say, Roy. I think you better take it away. You're the lead investigator in this case.
This is a tough one. This is a painful one because I think if we were solely looking at the case of Carlos de los Santos, who said he was intercepted by these discs and, we got him on radar. We have the testimony. We have the recordings of the radio calls. I think I probably would give that one a yes. Maybe you might lose me with the Men in Black stuff. I think that gets a little messy. But the case of alien possession, we just need more than that, don't we? Than just someone saying that that's what happened. I don't know enough about this kind of mysterious Rafael Pacheco Perez. As I said, he's kind of disappeared off the grid now. But I mean, I know that at this point he was like a reputable guy. There's like photos of him in the newspapers. His story, you know, blew up in Mexico City. It was a really big thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's got to be a no for me this week.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess as painful as it is, we love giving UFO stories a yes, but I think it is a no. I think it's a double no.
It is a no. And you know, if the universe really wanted Kit and I to give that a yes, an alien would have possessed us.
Yeah. you asked me, I would have flopped over.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's actually the most believable case. The aliens seem pretty chill. They seem like pretty cool guys. We should give them money and save the bees.
The race on this planet is the same as yours, except we have bigger penises.
All right.
Slightly taller, slightly cooler. Yeah, we're pretty awesome in pretty much every regard.
But thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. Shout out to Zachary Young, who emailed that suggestion into us. We appreciate it. If you want to send us your suggestions, maybe you have a paranormal case you're dying to get an answer to, whether it's one you've read about online or whether it is something that's happened to you. You can email it in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in contact with us over on the Patreon. That's right. This podcast is community funded, and the best way to support the show and get a bunch of cool, extra fun shit is patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Do you know how much money a human just kind of like loses in their life? You know, a nickel in the washing machine, a coin falls out of your wallet, loose change.
Yeah.
Scientists have estimated it's somewhere between $100,000 to $150,000 in a lifetime.
That's not true. There's no way. Especially because people don't use cash anymore.
Coins falling out of a pair of jeans.
It's not true.
Cryptocurrency scams.
That one might be true.
Sending money to strangers pretending to be from your bank. humans lose a lot of money.
Financial scams. That's not. You started off with losing, quote, a nickel in the washing machine. That's utterly different to a financial fraud scheme.
Here's one way that you won't lose your money. If you give it to us.
Invest it.
Invest it in This Paranormal Life. You know, are we a publicly traded company because you get to buy shares of Patreon and the money that you spend makes the company do better? I guess we are in that sense. That would make you a shareholder. Well, if you would like to buy stock, become a shareholder of This Paranormal Life. Not technically, this is not legal.
I'm getting worried because financial fraud is a serious thing. A lot of content creators have gone down, Rory, because of, you know, bad financial advice, which is probably illegal to give.
Yeah, and I don't want to be the ones that go down, so we need more money.
Yeah, no, no,
we need way more money.
Yeah, you said that this is a publicly traded asset.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't think even Patreon is publicly traded. I might be wrong about that.
It's just like, you know, it's not like a crazy thing. So it's like, you know, you give us a little bit of money and that gets you, you know, somewhere between 50 to 100 TPL digital coins.
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't.
And the coins fluctuate in value. No. But Ken and I have most of the coins.
No. And it's actually a really...
And if the coins go up by like 1%, we're going to sell all our coins.
It's a really... That's a pump and dump. So...
No, no, no. It's called a rug pull.
That's true. That's actually true.
Still bad.
You shouldn't know what these are.
But a funner name. A more fun name.
Patreon is a shop. It's really as simple as that.
Oh, that's better. I like that.
You go on. There's things you can buy.
Yeah.
Like you pay, oh, enter the credit card information, give $5.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I get access for an entire month to hundreds of episodes of This Paranormal Life that are totally exclusive to Patreon.
Yeah.
That seems like a fair exchange of goods and services. That sounds really
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Oh, and where does the money go? It goes directly to independent creators.
Yeah.
Who are spending their life bringing their art to the world and trying to make as many people happy as possible. That sounds like a good way to invest in this toxic, evil little world we live in.
Yeah, stop using the I word, investing. You know, it's, yeah. I think it's easier to maybe say, like, what can you get for $5 anymore? Whenever we started talking about Patreon, we used to say, you know, $5 for the price of a pint. I don't know if you've been outside lately. That's not the price of a pint anymore.
No.
It's a price of a really nice coffee, maybe a nice coffee in an airport.
Oh, $6.50.
Airport, okay, less than that.
Yeah.
Airport, okay, just a nice coffee.
Yeah.
For that, for the price of that one coffee, you can get hundreds of episodes of the pod. Pretty
cool. Hundreds of episodes of the podcast. If you haven't signed up yet, it's all there. Check it out. Best way to support the show and guarantee that we can keep making this podcast for many, many years.
And I sometimes forget to say, but it is currently... cheaper to go on the Patreon website than the app. If you have an iPhone, it's frustrating. Apple makes it more expensive if you use the app. So head on over to the website, patreon.com/thisparanormallife, or click the link in the description of this pod, whether that's in your podcast player or on YouTube.
Yeah. You can also click a link down there somewhere to buy tickets to our live tour. We're performing in the UK, doing this podcast live in front of hundreds of lovely people. So come along.
This isn't just a podcast. This is a way of life. This is a extended universe.
That's right. Invest, invest, invest.
There is no.
Yes.
There's this.
This
there's the
is
podcast.
Financial advice.
We have the bonus episode every month. We got a weekly after party on Fridays over on Patreon.
You can earn
there's
dividends based on the level of money that you've invested in the company. It's shelled out to our shareholders.
Can I get dividends, please?
That would be nice. Dividends.
No?
That's called insider trading, I think.
Okay, now you've got standards. Great.
No, Kit is right. There's so much you can get involved in, so many cool rewards, and one of them is a shout out at the end of the podcast. So thank you to today, a very thematically relevant username here. Definitely not an MIB.
Ooh, definitely not. I might have to see some credentials or lack thereof. Is that a thing? Should we get that for the commune? A kind of government mandated ID card, like a driving license, but it says you're not an MIB.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because most of the time you're trying to prove who you are. With this one, we're trying to prove who you're not.
Right. Almost like a TSA pre-check.
Yeah. I don't have a bomb.
Yeah.
That's what TSA is really saying.
That's a good airport shirt. I don't have a bomb. I just wear...
Getting dragged away. No, it says I don't.
It says I don't have a bomb. trying to make it.
That's exactly what a guy with a bomb would say, isn't it?
Definitely not an MIB. That is, hopefully you have that in t-shirt form and in card form. You know what? You're getting allowed into the paranormal commune.
Awesome.
Thank you also to Sam Skinner.
Sam Skinner is on to a winner. I had a recent meeting with Sam to be an angel investor in their new product. And let me tell you, they were on to a winner. It is a proprietary technology that blocks your brain from becoming possessed by the kind of beings we talked about today.
Whoa, Sam. Okay, I don't know how you came up with this technology.
Yeah.
Let me hear it. What do I do?
Well, we can't give it. It's proprietary, so we can't give away all the details. That's right. I did buy in for a very small amount of equity. Sam is quite a good negotiator.
Yikes. Okay. Do I want to know?
But I won't give away a lot. But
it sounds like you did give away a lot.
I give away everything. But Sam's idea is based around, again, I can't give away too much because I've already done that. but we're talking an aluminium-based head construction.
Oh my God, it's a tinfoil hat.
What?
It's a did he show you a tinfoil hat?
Did you take a meeting with Sam?
Oh my God.
Did Sam show you the proprietary technology?
Please tell me you didn't use any of the company's money.
I just borrowed it for a couple months.
All right.
Sam, 6 to 9 months, to be honest.
Sam, welcome to the commune. We need the money back. You will be shaken by the ankles.
No, I've got 0.5% equity.
Such little
in
equity.
In the Sam Shield head construction. Name pending, patent pending.
Yeah.
The Sam Shield. Everyone on Earth will be wearing a Sam Shield.
I don't think they will.
They will.
I don't think they will. Sam, we need the money back.
If I can get one of these to RFK Jr., they will.
Thank you also to Paul the Juggler Ramos, brackets, a.k.a. Jack!
Okay.
So many names. Have you squeezed in, like, all your friends into your one shout-out?
Right.
It's like, Paul the Juggler Ramos, also known as Claire, a.k.a. Jack.
Yeah, it's okay. Like,
yeah, that's,
we're giving shout-outs to the whole polycule over here.
Yeah. I don't even know. I think we're shouting out Paul today. Paul the Juggler. Listen, Paul, I appreciate anyone who's keeping the great profession of clown tricks alive.
Yeah. Hey, I.
That's awesome.
Paul, I became a juggler this year.
Oh, shit, you did. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet on stage, but I need to do it.
So now Kit can juggle and I can backflip. Who invested their time better? Who's cooler for being able to perform physically? I don't know. I'll let you decide, Jack, a.k.a. Yeah. The juggler.
Well, it feels
AKA.
Like I can do my skill anytime. I don't think you've backflipped since.
You don't need to. You do it. It's like going to the moon. You know, you've done it. You don't need to go back.
Yeah, it was a funny use of time. I basically got a dumb phone I used it for like a week while I was on holiday. And I was so bored because I didn't have social media. I learned to juggle. It really does make you wonder. It's like that statistic, like we only use 5% of our brain's power.
Yeah.
It's like, well, social media is knocking that down to 2% of our brain. So take that away. You could learn to juggle. What else is possible?
All the things you could
do. I could become a mathematician next.
Thank you also to Paige Blanchett.
I also met with Paige recently and wrote her a blank check. A blank check for her new technology.
Oh, God.
Pages.
Okay, what are pages?
Well, you know how in the modern age, you know, just like being worried about your brain getting possessed, we're constantly being worried about being hacked, like the radios in today's story.
Sure.
Technology, so hackable. Ah, always worried about your information getting stolen. Page has invented something pretty phenomenal. We're talking about a thin sheet of wood.
I knew this.
That you can, you write on it with a utensil known as a pencil.
That paper.
Rhymed, that was fun. Or a pen. And you can write things on it, unhackable, untraceable.
Stealable.
But
losable.
What Paige advises is that after you write something, you eat it. Once its use is done, you eat it. So no, it's unhackable.
But
so,
digestible.
So pages. I wrote her a blank check.
Okay.
A blank check for that one with the company card.
Paige, we need the money back. Thank you finally to Terrence Chang. Luckily, it doesn't matter that Kit has wasted all the company money this month because Mr. Chang actually emailed me and said that I was in line for a pretty big inheritance. Like an inheritance.
Okay.
That I was, you know, a lot of money was about to be sent my way.
Oh.
Because Mr. Chang is actually a relative of mine. I didn't even know I had that passed away recently, and he was a very wealthy man. And that
Mr. Chang was a close relative.
Close relative of mine, a distant uncle, apparently.
Right.
And the mother dead now. And
how's he donating money?
All they needed was for me to pay for the transfer fees. And I could actually get his incredible amount of wealth.
How much was the transfer fee?
$350,000.
That was the transfer fee. How much was the inheritance?
$450,000. So we're looking at a cool $100,000 profit once it kicks in.
That's such a high-risk trade. Have you received the $450,000?
No, I have not.
But the $350,000 is left our account, presumably.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest. I did not know we had that much money. That's news to me.
I had to take out an equity loan.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, the repayables are really going to put us in the red.
Yeah, what's the APR? Not to get into the weeds, but what's the percentage of interest on that?
36% monthly, annual repayments.
That's huge. We can't do that. What's 36% of $350,000?
A lot of money. A lot of moolah. Is that per annum? It's monthly per annum.
That doesn't make any sense.
So every month we have to yearly pay 35.
So we owe in excess of $100,000 a month just in interest fees?
Yes.
This is like bigger than the national debt of like Bolivia or something. This is like astonishing amounts of debt.
But when we get Terrence's money, we're in the green. Granted, we'll have to use some of that to pay off the debts.
Well, so people don't say they're in the green. They say they're either in the black or in the red. What's in the green?
What color's money, bitch? That's what I'm in.
Pounds are not green.
It's wherever Chang is from.
You don't even know.
No, I don't know. But he's a distant relative. So I assume America.
Yeah. So he's not going to sell you down the river because he's a relative.
He won't do it. He wouldn't do that to me. Terrence, I'm so sorry you passed away. Glad you managed to sign up to Patreon before you passed away, actually.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he signed
no
up.
No sense at all.
August 15th, but I got the email like months ago.
Yeah, you've been scammed. I don't want to spell this out to you.
All right, I need to cancel some checks. Okay, thank you, Terrence. Thank you, everyone that supports us on Patreon. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. It's a double no, but next week we will be back to chase that double yes. We'll see you then, folks.
Ciao.